Morning, everybody. Good to see you all. It's been a while, 2 weeks. But life happens, eh? It was on a Saturday about two Saturdays before that my wife came back from work and said, she went to work feeling a bit unwell and then came in and said, I have to take a COVID test. I've seen the pharmacist. And so she took the test and it came out positive. And so I started making the calls to see who is going to be able to speak tomorrow, because it meant that our family was going into isolation. And so I called Pastor Charlie, and I said, this was probably around 2 o'clock on Saturday, and I said, this is what has happened. May you please speak tomorrow? And with probably 5 hours of preparation, he was able to do an absolutely stellar job. So I would like to thank Pastor Charlie. You know, my takeaways, and to Steve as well, who spoke the week after, because then I got COVID, so I couldn't come again on the following Sunday. And so my takeaways for their messages as we're ending our story, our future for 2022, is that Pastor Charlie, my takeaway was, church is not a place you go to, it's a place you're a part of. And what was very interesting was the story he told about when they had the opportunity to give, yet at the same time they were planning a trip to Europe. But anyway, they went ahead in faith and gave what the Lord had put on their heart to give. And what came of that is when they came back from their trip, they came back with some change. And so that was really encouraging to see that God is active in our lives, and that as we step out in faith, God is going to respond to our faith. Amen? And then last week, my takeaway, and I did let these guys know about this actually, is from Steve Coppin, was counting the cost before you build. And obviously also building things that are manageable. And that is, you know, talking about as you give, as we know that our story, our future, is usually is something we do every year. So we do it annually. And this is over and above our tithes. And it's an offering, so it's obviously above our tithes. But that whole thing about do something that is manageable. Still step out in faith, because it has to be a stretch. But if you've never given to our story of future, I would encourage you to really consider to do so. But don't start off by saying, I'm going to give $1 million when you've never given a dollar, because that'll be a stretch. By all means, if you want to give $1 million, we will take it. And so do things from the message that Steve spoke, is do things that are manageable. And he used that, you know, he pointed out to some housing things and said, rather than build a 20-bed mansion, why don't you build a 3-bedroom so you can live in it and then start to add to that house? And so I thought that was really good. And so I want to thank them. You know, it meant that he had to scramble. But of course, you know, the good thing is, one thing I like is, there's a saying in Shona, in Zimbabwe, it says, Kufa kwe joni, kamba rivarwe. Now, you're all nodding your heads as if you understand. What it means is that the death of a constable does not close the police station. And so life goes on, eh? And so that's what I like is, you know, life in a church just goes on. So building things that last. Raising a family, I think I enjoyed, and it's a confession, it has its frustrations. Raising children has its frustrations. The best years were when the kids were 5 to 10 years old. That was, everything was smooth, you know, they would do what you want them to do, and they would obey. But once they start getting into their teenage years, then the opposition starts to come, the talk back. And so what has happened is that there's a roller coaster of emotions that you go through, you know, where you get so frustrated, you feel like strangling them. dirty rooms. You know, we find now we've got a nearly three-year-old. You find around the house 7 once bitten apples. You know, and so it's, and sometimes the family can feel like a war zone, where it is parents versus children. And so here we are on one side, and the kids are on the other side. And so we're barking instructions to each other, and everybody's resisting. But it's amazing how God has chosen that institution called family as the vehicle by which we can raise our children so they can grow up into value-adding people. And so if we are to build families that last or things that last, our homes will be filled with laughter. There will be love, but of course, there's going to be discipline and correction. And those, because when we're building things that last, it's not because kids always want to have their way. But sometimes as the parents, you know, we push back. You know, our side of, you know, it's really them versus us, and we're pushing back, and they're pushing, and we're pushing back. And I'm a stickler for ironed clothes. And so if they're going to school with wrinkled uniforms, I'm like, you got to iron that. Or with, I mean, it's interesting how here in Australia they allow you, when I went to school, it was brown or black shoes. Here you're allowed to go with different types of shoes, which is bizarre. But anyway, good for them. One of the things I'd like to do is, as we're coming to an end of our Story of Future 2021, because we're starting from today going forward, we're starting our Story of Future 2022. I want to take the time to thank you for your generosity. I really do appreciate that everybody brings their tithes, but this is something that is over and above your tithes. And really, we want to thank you for taking a step of faith in believing in the Lord, that God, we're taking a step of faith so that we can build your house. And that is something to note. And we're very proud and very humbled. Even as a team, we're so humbled that, you know, people would stretch themselves. They would put themselves out there and say, God, you're going to have to come through. This is what we're believing for. And we want to thank you for your generosity. And this is one of the most generous churches. In fact, the most generous church, because this is over and above our tithes. And it's a challenge, because sometimes you have to go without what you always want to go with, whether it's the pair of sneakers you want to go without or the 3 extra cups of coffee that you have to go without, everybody. But it's, whilst of course you did it for the church, dare I say that you did this for the Lord. You did this for the Lord. And so that it would be spoken of those people that we are those people that when the call came to help build the house of the Lord, we all answered and we built. And I think that it is such a joy and such an honor for all of us to be a part of what God is doing. And so if you're coming here for the first time and you're wondering, you know, I don't know what to do, all I can say is get on board with what God is doing. You just have to look around the world and say, I'm going to get involved with whatever the Lord is doing. And so thank you. Thank you for your generosity. And so just a quick snapshot of last year we had, can you see that? Probably not. What I will say is that we had budgeted $45,000 for our Story of Future. As of probably 3 weeks ago, we had nearly $43,000 come in, and that is absolutely fantastic. And of that we had spent $42,000. And what we spent it on was, next slide, thank you. We spent it on building repairs, wages for our building manager, solar panels, paying down our mortgage for our building, video equipment. We had chairs for Wellard and kitchen equipment. And that's what we spent. spent the money. So I really want to thank you. And this is just so that we you know, it's important that you see that where the money has gone to. It's a thing that I think it's a good thing. In 1829, two guys, or two gentlemen, one a governor and James Stirling and the Surveyor General John Rowe, set aside, they designated an area to be set aside for public purposes. 1829 is when they decided to do this. And then in 1872, the governor, the next governor, and the next surveyor general formally gazetted 175 hectares of the reserve as a public park. And then later on, other people went on to add more space to that, what is now called King's Park. And so what happens is that when we start to build something, you start off building, you do your part, and then other people come on top of what you have done and continue to add. And this is significant for us because everything starts off by a decision that people have made that it was a decision that those two gentlemen made. This was for public purposes. And how many people have enjoyed King's Park? King's Park, everybody loves King's Park? It's a great place. But it was a decision that was made in 1829. And today, we are the beneficiaries of the decision that those two gentlemen made. It will be said of us in the next 50-odd years that the decisions that we have taken today are affecting generations. And whilst I understand that, you know, our story of future is about building, it's about making sure that this building that we have is really a place that people can come and worship and begin to encounter the Lord and to have lives transformed, families, destinies changed. It all starts with the decisions that we've made. And I know that we are building brick by brick by brick. And it's such a great thing to understand that people have come from the world over and the first place they go to is King's Park, or one of the places they go to. We're going to go to King's Park, and then they have a wonderful view of the city of Perth, the Swan River. But it all started by two guys, two men. And each of us in our lives, as we build our lives, not just as we look to build the building, but it's as we build our lives, are we building our lives in a way that the impact will be lasting? Whether you're a young person or an old person, are you building your life in a way that it is going to, that it will, its impact will last? If we look to our base scripture, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 to 13 from the Amplified, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers, his servants working together. You are God's cultivated field, his garden, his vineyard, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me to prepare me for my task, like a skillful master builder, I laid a foundation, and now another is building on it. But each one must be careful how he builds on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than the..." Sorry, I'm reading from there because it's very small here. "The one which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will be clearly shown for what it is, for the day of judgment will disclose it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality and character and worth of each person's work." Now, Paul says, if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. And the Corinthian people understood this illustration, because not long before this was written, Their whole city was devastated by fire. They had seen the damage fire could do. Naturally, as the fire swept through the city, all the homes constructed of wood, hay, and straw were now a pile of ashes. But the more wealthy homes that were constructed with the precious stones, which is what it says there, which is either marble and granite, were still standing after the fire had swept through. And if you were to go, for those that have had the opportunity to go to Rome, the reason so much of ancient Rome can still be seen today is that most of its buildings were constructed of stone. And Romans wanted their greatness to be etched into human history forever. And so when they built this city, they constructed and the buildings designed to declare the Caesar's glory for millennia. We want to know everybody that we were here. And so even though they used gold and silver, you know, in the decorative stuff of the house, of the buildings, what then happens is that when fire comes through, it's all gone. But what we see now as we go to, we still see the building standing, which is really a significant thing, that those buildings are still standing as of today. And if we are going to build our lives, we need to be those, we need to ask ourselves, how am I building my life? How am I building my marriage? Is what I'm building on it gold, silver, and precious stones, which is granite and marble, things that will last, or is it wood, hay, or straw? Am I taking shortcuts? Because shortcuts, you know, they don't, you might get there fast, but eventually it will all come to ruin. And that's the thing that we should ask ourselves. Are we building those things that will last? And if I was to ask this question about, you know, if we look at your life and ask yourself, based on what I'm doing today, will my marriage flourish or perish? How am I building my children? Will my children pass the test of life because what I am putting into them? How am I building my relationships? Am I building my relationships so they can stand up against any storm? How are we building our ministry? Are we doing lots of quick fixes that aren't real solutions to problems in our ministry? Or are we taking time to build ministry right so it will last a lifetime? How am I building my business? The question you're asking yourself as you build your business, will the steps I'm taking today build a long-term business, or will I later regret that I didn't make longer-lasting decisions? How am I building my finances? Am I using money in a way to build my future, or am I throwing away my future by being reckless today? And then lastly, how am I building my health? If I keep doing what I'm doing right now, will I be healthy later in life, or is my present lifestyle jeopardizing my future physical health? And that's a question each of us need to be able to answer. How are we building our lives? A few weeks ago, I was thinking about this message, I was at a park. And I normally go to this park and I chill there. I walk there from my house, probably 200-300 meters from there. Very nice park, green grass. And I recall this morning that I was there. I saw, if we can go to that slide, I saw these. I don't know what these things are called. These birds. Ibises. So I saw those, lots of them, and so It made me think that the birds are the evidence that somebody took the time to install reticulation into that ground. somebody took the time to grow the grass, to mow it. And so these birds come to find sustenance from something that somebody made a decision a while ago to do. And I started to reflect, it was in the morning and the birds were chirping and all the trees were nice and green. And I thought, wow, the birds are the evidence, because if there was no trees, there would be no birds. And it made me feel in that moment that people coming to our church is just going to be the evidence of what God is doing in our lives. And our focus in that moment is about, I felt anyway, that this is about people. This is how do we build things that will last? Because in another 50 years' time, unless the council changes the designation, which I don't think they will, that park is going to be there, and more people in that neighborhood are going to enjoy it. And I thought, wow, if we were to grab a hold of that and a grasp of our lives to say, as we approach church and think, wow, this is a place that we're building that other people are going to enjoy for a long time to come. And I think, what a privilege it will be. You'll find that if you read 1 Corinthians right at the beginning, Paul is chiding the Corinthians because what they're focusing on is, I follow Paul, and the other says, well, I follow Apollos. And Paul is saying, who is Paul, who is Apollos? And he says that each of us did our task as the Lord gave us. That means that each and every one of us are given a task that the Lord has specifically given us. And it's not about us trying to follow the latest fad that, you know, that comes into, you know, like sometimes in church circles there are fads that come. It's not about that. It is about us preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, Him crucified and Him rising again, and that the Lord Jesus will come again. And the key thing you see is that the decisions, everybody builds their life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. Now, what you do build on that foundation is a choice that each and everyone has to make each and every day. How am I going to build on that foundation? Am I going to use gold, silver, and precious stones, which is marble or granite? Or am I just going to wood, hay, or straw? Just do whatever, you know, just to get by. And that's the thing, is that no matter how young you are, you can start to build your life with those precious things. You can begin to put in your life the disciplines that are going to help you in your future. And even for us that are older, it's never too late. We can now begin to say, if I've never built my life on the foundation, what I'm using to build my life on, I'm going to make sure that I build things that will last the test of time. Amen? And so why do we do our story, our future? And so, of course, people, we need to understand that the building isn't the end of the journey. It is just the vehicle by which we enlarge the kingdom of God. It is the location in which lives are restored, bodies are healed, and marriages are put back together. It is the space, this building here, it is the space in which fellowship enriches lives and new friendships are forged. It is where the word of God is imparted to young, old, and middle-aged people alike. That is why we do our story, our future. He said, yes, it is about the building, because it's important to have a building, a space that you can come to, a place that you don't actually have to put away the chairs every week, a place that is home. It's nice to call a certain place my home. There's a lot of freedom that comes with that. But this is what it is. It's a place where lives are going to be touched and people's lives are going to be changed and restored. And I feel that it's about people that are saved, which is all of us, because we are important. And also, it's about those not saved who are going to be saved. It's about each of us doing the work the Lord has given us. You and I doing our bit in the work that the Lord has given us. Because as Paul says that, I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who gave the increase. And so there is no comparison. Because what the Corinthians were trying to do was to find somebody to follow, to elevate, and it's not about using man's wisdom. This is about us preaching and speaking Jesus Christ. And we build on that foundation, the revelation of that Jesus is the Son of God. And so if I can get the team to come back up as we bring this to a close. We're all presented with an opportunity to contribute and to do our part. And one of the key things that we learned from Steve Coppin is that do things that are manageable. Don't do things that are going to cause you a lot of strife and tension in your marriage. And that is why it's important that if you're married, you speak to your spouse, baby, what are we going to give? And they'll say, X amount? Okay, cool. And then you give as your wife says it. Not what the Lord says, what your wife says. No. Because you can say, Lord, you know how difficult it is to deal with my wife? I just, I say that in jest. And as you prepare this morning, as we prepare to give, understand that it is actually such a privilege. All the places that I've been in Australia, they've always had this stuff. Eh? They've always, and I remember this journey started for us when we were just married, didn't have much. You know, I had 2 degrees and a diploma, but I couldn't get a job. I walked the streets of Wollongong, New South Wales, in a suit in the hot sun, dropping my flyer at accounting firms. Couldn't get a gig. And so what I had to do was, I had to do gardening. But when the opportunity came to give into whatever building project there was, now it wasn't a lot back in those days. It could have been $50. But that 50 was like 1,000. So New South Wales, we moved to Alice Springs, they have it. We moved to Port Hedland, they have it. And so it's an absolute privilege to be able to help build the house of God. Because whatever those churches have become today, the history books of the Lord, of God, will reveal that Stephen Mogwenza and his family did something. And so what I would ask that as we're going to pray, I'm going to pray a prayer for everybody, over everybody today, and then we're going to come and give as we finish. And so I pray, Lord, I ask you to help me seriously consider the way I've been building my life, my finances, my business, my ministry, my relationships, and my family. Forgive me for getting in a hurry and for doing things too hastily. At times when I need to be concentrating on doing things right, help me build my life in such a way that it will survive the test of time. Give me the insight I need to know when I'm building correctly and when I'm building too quickly. I know that my life is important and that you have trusted me as a steward over everything I have. So today I confess I need your help to build with the right materials and to build in such a way that what I do for you impacts future generation and passes the test of time. And so with everybody, if you can all stand this morning. My confession for today, and this is our confession. I confess that with God's help, I am building my life wisely and with the materials that will pass the test of time. My life is a gift from God, and I am a careful steward over this wonderful gift. Instead of being too hasty, I am carefully taking one step at a time, building my life, vision, business, and family so they'll be strong for years to come. I will never be smart enough to build a life that lasts in my own strength, but with the assistance of the Holy Spirit, I am learning to build my life wisely, carefully, and for longevity. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. And so, church, just take your cards this morning. And as you come to give, as you come in just to the front here, as we often do every year, just drop your seed. And as you're dropping your seed, I'm believing that the Lord is going to respond to faith. And most importantly, as you drop your seed in the basket, it's a sign of you being planted in the house of God. And the reason why you want to be planted in the house of God is so that you would flourish. And what we're believing for in that, in this next Our Story of Future 2022, you would flourish in your life. And so let's come and let's give and let's sing, please.